Welcome to The Superhuman Life. I'm your host, Frank Rich, and this is the only podcast in the world that is dedicated to helping men level up in the five key areas of life. Each week, we bring you real and raw conversations with the world's leading experts in faith, fitness, finance, family, and freedom to provide you with real actionable tools to break limiting beliefs, take action, and shatter the glass ceiling on your life's potential. So jump on board and join me on this journey as we dive into today's conversation and unlock the keys to you becoming the man you were born to be and creating your own superhuman life. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back this week to another amazing, guys, and very, very exciting episode of The Superhuman Life. As always, before we dive into today's guest and conversation, I just want to take a moment and remind you how incredibly grateful and thankful we are to have you here with us today. Episode 247 of The Superhuman Life. Guys, we're coming up on 5 years. We'll be celebrating episode 250 here in the coming weeks. And in July, we will recognize and celebrate our 5-year anniversary. And it has been a truly remarkable journey. But I feel like we're just getting things started, guys. And as I do ask you every single week, more important now than ever, as we're reaching some milestones with the show, we need to continue to look at getting it out there to as many listeners, to grow this audience, to grow this movement, to share this message with as many people across the world. I ask you so kindly, guys, if you're getting value out of these conversations, you can always support the show by sharing it with as many people as possible. But more importantly, this week, and in the coming weeks, if you can help us blow up that algorithm by leaving your 5-star ratings and written reviews. I know a lot of you guys are consuming this on Apple. Apple's the best place to leave us those reviews. Share the show. If you drop it on your social media, tag me. I'd be happy to share it out with all of our followers on the social platforms as well. Today, though, we have an incredible conversation. So grateful to have the guest joining me on here. He's somebody that I've been a fan of his content for over a decade, had the opportunity to connect with him back in 2017 for an incredible back-smashing workout. But joining me on the show today is none other than Mark Lobliner. Mark is currently the chief marketing officer of TigerFitness.com, as well as the owner and CEO of a supplement company known as MTS Nutrition. He's the creator of the Outright Bar and Outright Foods, and he's also a partner in the Ambrosia Collective, 015 Nutrition, Pump Chaser Supplements, Iron Addicts Gym, and he's the owner of Machine Training Solutions Body Life Coaching Services, and also the founder of Legacy at Carbon, which is a youth performance training facility in Franklin, Tennessee. In addition to all of that, Mark is an IFBB pro bodybuilder, an amateur boxer, an Exos Phase 3 trainer, and a licensed 7-versus-7, 9-on-9, and 11-on-11 soccer coach, as well as holding a CrossFit Level 1 certification. Mark is what's known as an OG in the YouTube space. He built many of his brands and his large personal presence online through YouTube videos over at TigerFitness.com, as well as his Instagram page and his Twitter handles, which will all be plugged down there in the show notes, guys. Like I said, Mark is somebody that I've had an honor of following, been a big fan of his work and what he does. And he's just a powerhouse of a leader, of a business owner. And in this conversation, we're going to talk about Mark's early days in the fitness and supplement industry and how working with a few legends in the space, Joe Weider, Sylvester Stallone, really set him on the path for all he's been able to do through his multiple businesses. We're talking about how growth and evolution are essential both for personal and professional life. We're then going to get into youth sports. Youth sports is something that both Mark and I are incredibly passionate about. We're talking about the role in youth sports in terms of character development, teaching discipline, teamwork, and work ethic. We're going to touch on what they're doing over there with Legacy at Carbon, and then the achievement that Mark felt a few years back with winning an IFBB pro card after stepping away and being told by many that he wouldn't be able to accomplish that. And then we're just going to share our thoughts around building a legacy and leaving a positive impact for the future generations. Guys, this is a jam-packed conversation. We touch on a lot of business, fitness, entrepreneurship, family, mentorship, being a man. We cover all of that in today's episode, guys. So without further ado, let's get into this conversation with Mark Lobliner, IFBB Pro and CEO of MTS Nutrition, on building a legacy and leaving a positive impact. We love you guys, and we'll see you on the other side. Mark, talk to me about your early days in the supplement game. I think you lived out so many young men's dreams, at least the time that you and I grew up, by working with Stallone. Talk to us about those early days and being partners with Stallone.
And well, I mean, going before that, imagine if your first boss is Joe Weider, the guy who literally invented, he didn't invent bodybuilding. He made it a sport. He made it a spectacle. He made it what it is with his first magazine, Your Physique, which at the time was going up against Bob Hoffman's magazines. So imagine you're 19 years old, you're finishing college, and you get to work with the man who started all, the guy who, if you go to any sporting goods store, his protein's on the shelf, his likeness is everywhere. And it was a great way to start a career. And to segue that, after Weider, working with Sylvester Stallone, I mean, that was the next logical step. Let's start a supplement brand. Because at the end of the day, what I did at Weider wasn't even supplements. It wasn't even sport nutrition. I sold ads, and then I moved into marketing, and then we were bought by American Media, which is the Inquirer, the Star, Mira en Español. I'm dealing with Nike. I'm dealing with Nissan. I'm dealing with Toyota. I'm 21, 22 years old, making crazy money. At that time, the magazine world was nuts. Like, it was the land of sales and cocaine, baby. Like, it was, and we were in that. And we were actually, I was at American Media. Remember the anthrax scare after 9/11? That was us. That was us. That was American Media. So I got to witness all that at a young age, start a company, get fired from Sly's brand, even as a founding shareholder. But all I have to say about that is that they went bankrupt and I'm still here. So Sly's an interesting guy. I can't say I was like with him all the time, but I got to partake in a lot of company parties. That is probably why we went bankrupt, because they spent money on stupid stuff. And I got, you know, at the age of, that was 24 at the time, I'm sitting in meetings with Gores Technology, which is a multi-billion dollar investment group. So the amount of experience that I got by the age of 24 years old has led me to be who I am today. Someone who's, you know, working not only managing my own businesses, but through the acquisition of Ambrosia, I'm also working with a brand called Brandless, which is Onward Partners is the overall brand. So every day I deal with very talented people who I learn from every single day. And the one regret I have in life is starting a business too soon, because I really enjoy working with smart people, and I get to work with smart people in my brands, but to see different leadership skills, I think is great. So it's been a blessing since 2022 with the acquisition, just being a part of this team, but at the same time, being able to take what I learned from that and apply it to the other businesses I own. And if you say, how do you own all those businesses? Elon Musk, I believe, owns 7 businesses over $1 billion in value. If Elon can do 7, I can do 4. And I'm not, but just to let you know, I'm not a billionaire, guys. I'm not Elon. I'm not at that level, but I do have an exclusive show every night on X. So there you go. Or Twitter. Do you call it X? Oh, I'm sorry. I totally took over the floor, but it's your show. How you doing, brother?
No, brother. That's why we have here, man. Yeah. Twitter, X, I think it's all the same. I think people still, you know, still recognize it as Twitter, because it's like, what do you do? Like, you used to tweet, like, you don't X. Is that what it's called? Is like, when you're on the platform, are you
X? It's just generic posting. You're still tweeting.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Twitter had something there with the branding. They literally created their own word. You tweet something. Like nobody knew what that was until Twitter.
And it's gotten so much better now. When Elon took over, we have freedom of speech. We have, they suppress certain things that are just outright ridiculous. But at the end of the day, it's the most free speech platform. And I like all free speech. You know, like, I'm Jewish. If someone comes up and calls me the K word, does everybody know what the K word is? Do I have to say it? I have a K word pass, just to let you know. But, you know, it doesn't bother me. Because it's just a word, and I like people who discuss things, because without discussion, we don't have enlightenment. Without debate, we don't share knowledge. So I like when someone has a viewpoint that's out here, because I'll tell you what, my views at 43 years old are not the same as my views at 19 years old. And that's because I spoke to people who enriched my brain.
Yeah, I love that. I love that so much, man. And you know, what's interesting with you is, like, you have this documented journey of sharing your thoughts and ideas and opinions. I mean, you've been on YouTube since almost its inception, right? So you have a decade plus of, like, this is what I used to think. Like, I definitely don't think that anymore. You said something that really jumped out to me there, though, is like, your only regret was starting a business too soon. We're gonna have a lot of young guys that are listening to this, maybe have dreams of entrepreneurship, maybe have dreams of stepping out one day and starting their own thing. When is the right time for a guy to take that leap of faith and start a company, start a business? Get back to the show in a second, guys. But real quick, I want to tell you about today's sponsor, Magnesium Breakthrough by BioOptimizers. Do you know if you're getting enough magnesium? Because 4 out of 5 Americans aren't. And that's a big problem because magnesium is involved in more than 300 biochemical reactions in your body. Today, I want to talk to you about the most common signs to look for that could indicate you're magnesium deficient. Listen carefully to the end because there's going to be a special offer happening at the end of this that could be exactly what you need. Are you irritable or anxious? Do you struggle with insomnia? Do you experience muscle cramps or twitches? Do you have high blood pressure? Are you sometimes constipated? There are dozens of symptoms of magnesium deficiency, but these are just a few of the most common ones. Now, here's what most people don't know. Taking just any magnesium supplement won't solve your problem because most supplements use the cheapest kinds that your body can't use or absorb. That's why I exclusively recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by BioOptimizer. It's the only full-spectrum magnesium supplement with 7 unique forms of magnesium that your body can actually use and absorb. All BioOptimizer supplements are the best in class, guys. I've been working with and using their products for over 7 years now. For some reason you feel differently, you can get a full refund, no questions asked. They're so confident in this that they're going to offer a 365-day money-back guarantee. Just go to biooptimizers.com/frankrich. And in addition, we're going to give you a discount if you use code RICH10 for 10% off. Once again, guys, visit biooptimizers.com/frankrich or click the link down there in the show notes and use code RICH10 to receive 10% off your order today.
Brother, you're going to get me in trouble for killing dreams. Let me start with, so one thing I've learned, especially recently from working with a board, is numbers don't lie. Numbers are everything. And I learned that in the acquisition process, because when you look at selling a company, you look at a company that's worth, oh my, it's $100 million company. No. What's your EBITDA? What is the bottom line? So I learned to look at things through numbers and the likelihood of succeeding. Just to give you some perspective. And this number varies year to year. Obviously, now it's going to be much higher because the economy, no matter what the government gaslights you on, the economy kind of sucks. Stock market's doing good. I can argue it's artificially inflated, propped up because it's an election year, which it's not the first time we've done this. So I'm like, Biden. I'm like, dude, they've been doing this since like Woodrow Wilson and all those guys, right? Like, this is not a new thing. What's happening now has happened before, just obviously with lack of technology and information. 94% on average of businesses fail. That is an astronomical number. So 6% make it. And I remember when I was a kid, now you can bleep this out. I'm going to say a curse word. Just give your editors a heads up. When my father-in-law owned a security business in Culver City, California. At the time it was 20th century security, but he changed to 21st century because, well, the century turned over in the time he owned it. And I remember I was interviewing him for a college paper. And I said, hey, Tim, his name was Tim. He since passed away. I said, Tim, what is the definition of entrepreneur? And I remember he was over and he was like painting this project lamp or something. He looked at me and said, an asshole. That's his word. He said, an asshole. And I now know exactly, you know, years down the road, he's since passed away, God rest his soul. An entrepreneur is someone who believes that you're in the 6% that isn't going to fail. That is an arrogant fucking asshole. So if you want to be successful, if you want to start a business, you're not working for yourself. You're working for the government because your taxes are going to be through the roof. You have an upper tax rate of 37% corporate tax. It's terrible. So every dollar you make, they take 37 cents off the top. Make $100,000, cut that shit by $37,000. That's not including state tax, unless you live in a state like Tennessee. That's not including property tax. That's not including consumption tax. It's not including anything. So take that off the top. And by the way, guys, write-offs, bullshit. Everybody's like, I'll just write it off. That's not how it works. That just decreases your whatever. I don't have to get into all that. So not only is the government making it nearly impossible for you to run at a profit, but you're going to find yourself the equivalent of riding a bicycle on the lowest gear uphill. You're pedaling and pedaling and pedaling and pedaling. You're moving slow. You're just barely inching up that hill. And that is what owning a business is. Throughout owning a business, I have realized success. For the first few years, I was broke. I didn't truly make money or any money worth considering, and no money that could afford the house I'm in now until 2018. Put that in perspective. I started Syvation in 2004. Syvation sold for millions of dollars. Put that in perspective. Okay, 2018. Do the math. And in that time, I missed my first two kids' first steps. I nearly destroyed my marriage. And I went to the emergency room twice for exhaustion. So I want to just put in perspective, whereas parallel that my brother, who's never owned his own business outside of owning part of a training facility for baseball in St. Charles, Illinois, called Top Pick, which he recently sold his part. My brother lives a great life, is an executive, has a C-suite job wherever he wants to go. He has a great resume, is immensely talented, smarter than me, and never had to deal with that. And my brother, while I don't want to know how much he makes. I don't want that dynamic involved in our relationship as brothers. I don't need that. We're competitive when it comes to sports and stuff, but I don't want financial competition. My brother, I think you understand. So at the end of the day, my brother got to go to Little League tournaments with his kids. He was at all their first steps. He had weekends off. When he had to take days off, there was someone to take his spot. If I could do it all over again, I would have probably not started my business. I had a point where I could have, before starting Syvation, I could have taken a job with a large publishing company at the time, because that was what my experience was in. It would have paid me stupid money. And instead, I decided to make nothing for a few years and start my own business while my wife brought home the check. So talk about it, Matt. Look, man. And by the way, for the record, all you red pill guys, if my wife weighed more than me, I would be very happy. That's called winning in life. You know, so if she goes back to the workforce and out earns me, I'll be like, come on, sugar mama, bring it in. Just come home. I'll put whipped cream on my body and we could go to town. You know, that's what I'm looking for. I want a sugar mama, but I'm just playing. But that's what I'm getting at, is you just need to understand that there is a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow when you own a business. But man, it takes a lot of time to climb that rainbow. And here's another thing. What if you're 40 years old and you're right at that cusp of getting there and you die or you get sick? You always got to look like you don't know when your last day is going to be.
Yeah. No, I love that, man. And yeah, 6% of, I think you said, all but 6% of businesses are going to end up failing, you know, usually within the first 5 years. That's been, you know, my experience in the first three businesses that I started. It's like, we're finally onto something now. You know, this is like the fourth, fifth attempt to kind of make something real happen. It's like, now we see a light at the end of the tunnel. Okay, we can see how this can become something that can, it's obviously already impacting the world, but create that real kind of lasting generational wealth success that I think you speak a lot about there as well. Outside of being an asshole and just maybe having this underlying self-belief that I can do something that very few people can doing, what would you say are some of the other characteristics or traits that a good business owner, entrepreneur needs to possess?
There's a good book I recommend everybody reads. That's Ready, Fire, Aim. Paralysis by analysis is a problem. And you see that in a lot of people who are extremely smart. I know people who have super high IQs. They have great ideas, but they're busy. Like, for example, starting a YouTube channel in 2011, when I started the Tiger Fitness YouTube channel, you know, it was the first YouTube channels in the fitness space for me. Actually, before I got in, it was just the Hodge twins, who are now the conservative twins. Now they're conservative pundits. Still love those guys. Still talk to them. Louis Marco and Scooby. Scooby's still posting videos. I saw one pop up the other day. God bless. He's like 90 years old now. He still looks great. And I don't know where Louis Marco went. I knew he went for the whole like male empowerment angle for a little bit. I've stayed with the fitness angle. I'm going to keep doing at least 3 fitness videos a week. I have over 7,500 videos on YouTube. But I've moved more into political and current events sphere because that's what is passionate. And to be honest with you, like you can only do so many videos on, there's like nothing's news happening in fitness. Like a bicep curl is still a bicep curl. Mike Israetel reinvented the wheel with full ROM. It's like, wow, you mean we're supposed to move through the full range of motion? Fuck. Thank God he came out with that. But yeah, they're basically regurgitating. Have you seen lengthened partials? Like that's called we call that a burnout. Like this shit is so boring. Like fitness just is it nauseating how boring and recycled and talentless it's become, because everything's already been done. There's only so many ways you could stimulate a muscle. So for me, it's like, let's go outside the box. Let's talk about stuff and build this other area, which is current events and news. And I've had the fortune of going on podcasts like Tim Pool and all these. So I've had these great opportunities. Luke Rutkowski, I'm regular on his show. I'm going back on Fit and Fresh on the 10th because, you know, I'm hip to them hoes. And that's just how I roll. Yeah, not. I mean, well, for your crowd, they know the kind of girls they have on that show.
We have a lot of guys that end up, they go down that Fresh and Fit rabbit hole and they realize that it's not actually where they want to be in life. And then they end up finding me. It's like once they've kind of explored that red pill space, like, and then they find me and the things that we talk about, it's like, okay, Frank, you have a message that speaks more to like actually being a fulfilling man in this world, starting a family, like being a husband, being a father, being a leader in the community, not just running through random chicks. Like, I've had so many guys that fell into that trap.
I think that's the goal that Myron has over there. I'm friends with Myron. Obviously I'm friends with Fresh as well. But Myron, again, like, I'm so good friends with him, I don't even know him as Fit. Like, he's Myron. So Myron is a very, very good guy. He has the right intentions and he speaks truth as he sees them. And there's a lot of truth in what he says. It's about male empowerment. I think there's something to be said about bringing the power back to the male. But you have to preface things nowadays with, well, I don't agree with everything they say. Well, no shit. I don't agree with everything I say. I don't agree with everything Alan Roberts says, who's my co-host on Evening Rants. I don't agree with everything my wife says. If you agree with everyone someone says, there's something wrong with you, or you're just trying to fit in.
Or one of the people is lying. I think what a lot of people get confused with shows like Fresh and Fit, guys like Andrew Tate, realize that there's a entertainment component to what all these people are doing. And they've hacked it and they've realized that the more polarizing they are, the more virality they're going to get, the more views that they're going to get. So you need to be able to extract the things that they're saying and see what the core message is, absent from the shocking entertainment value, right? It's like, there's bits where these guys are playing characters, and I'm sure you probably know Myron personally. You can be like, he's not the same person when I'm sitting down having dinner with him as he is on the show. He turns it up a little bit because that's what's going to create the engagement. That's what's going to create the buzz. That's what's going to get the clicks. That's what's going to get the engagement. So being able to listen to this, extract one, two bits of real value and not take everything at face value that they're saying and say, like, this is the gospel that they're sharing here. No, there's always going to be some nuggets of wisdom in everybody's message. I think that's what we need to be able to understand.
Yeah, I think, and I like to talk to everybody. Like, let's discuss this again. Like, we're in a world where you're in your little, like, bubble, you're insulated and you aren't exposed to these new ideas. And that's why we're in this issue we're in right now, where you have this extreme tribalism that I believe is a cancer on society. So that's why I'm like, you know what? We need to get out there and talk to some folks and just see what's going on. That's why I love going on, you know, different places. Like, Tim Pool does a good job of bringing in people. He brought in the Krasensteins and all these guys. So, I mean, you know, I just feel that, you know, anybody who invites open discussion and doesn't just keep it in this bubble, that's what I love, because that's where we all learn. That's where I learn. I've changed. Again, like, if you have the same opinion you did when you were 20 at 43, like, you're an idiot. You're just a sheep idiot. Like, that, it is what it is.
Yeah. It's like when you see people that you knew in your 20s or knew in your 30s, and like, you've gone through this transformative journey, and they're like, you changed, and they're like upset that you're a different person, or you've grown or evolved. It's like, yeah, that's the meaning of life. We're supposed to grow. We're supposed to evolve. We're supposed to challenge our ideas. We're supposed to become a higher, enlightened version, better version of ourselves, physically, mentally, emotionally. Tying back to the entrepreneurship, you know, you mentioned you got your start early on with Weeder Publications in the business realm. But even prior to that, you had already, I think, found your true passion, which was fitness. What are the parallels or synergies that you've seen in succeeding in the business entrepreneurship world? Because you've also succeeded at the highest level of bodybuilding as well. What are kind of some of the similarities in those two realms?
Well, without bodybuilding, I would not be nearly as successful as I am now, because, see, like, if you look at, like, sports psychology, have you ever watched a game? And you were around in the Tom Brady era, so I'm sure a lot of your listeners are too. I'm sure they skew over 25, some of them. So the dude hasn't scored for three quarters, and there's 2 minutes left in the game. They're down by 24. Somehow he wins 28-24. So, like, in sports, there's this thing called momentum. So in life, your brain, your surroundings, you get this momentum going. So when you set goals and achieve them, when you do things that are hard, and Joe Rogan's big on the cold plunge because it's hard. I don't think Joe Rogan's claiming it cures cancer or activates this fucking magical brown fat, which adults have like none of. Now, Huberman gets a little stupid with it. Well, it increases. I'm like, dude, you are so exaggerating the fucking data on rats. Good job, Huberman. But he's the guy now. I love the guy. He's a science-based guy. But man, the problem with scientists, I'm going so off tangent. He misreads. He makes this data seem much better than it is. And now everybody's buying $8,000 cold plunges. You know, so you have to do hard things. If your body and your mind doesn't do hard things, then you're not going to operate at a level that you can operate at. You're not going to optimize by pushing your body and your mind and your soul in the gym, by getting that extra rep on squats, by getting that extra set, by just waking up and doing something hard throughout the day. Your perception of what is difficult, whether, hey, I need this report by 5 o'clock. I just had that the other day. Hey, we need this by the end of the day. Or I had to, they're like, hey, you're flying to Utah in a day. We need all this data. And I'm like, this is impossible. But I'm like, you know what? My mindset's like, I'm going to do this. Because what it does is it, and that's why I love coaching youth sports, because we're instilling in them this work ethic that will carry over into the workplace. Now, I've been fortunate enough to coach a national championship team in soccer. My partner Bryce and I, between the two of us, we have probably 400 kids playing D1 ball. Like we have ballers, but like we'll be lucky to have one or two professional athletes. These kids are not going to make money playing sports, but they'll come back to us and they'll be like, they'll be working jobs and making six figures a year. We did our job. Now, if we happen to get that lucky, like pro guy, and we got one, actually, we have one going in the draft this year. It's like, hey, you know, that's awesome. But dude, the pro funnel is so dramatic. Like going from high school, college, pros is like here, right? So that's why, you know, youth sports, I've said this and people get mad. Like, yeah, youth sports can save America. And I say that for a lot of reasons. One is that it keeps kids from making mistakes. It gives them a goal to work towards. Are you going to go out drinking Friday night with your friends when you have a Saturday game? Probably not, because you want to perform. When you know you got to get up at night and be at the 9 a.m. session at Legacy at Carbon, are you going to go out partying with your friends? No, because you know you're going to be puking outside when you're with us and we're making you run sprints. Because when I see a kid who I knew went out and did some stuff, I'm making him run hills. You know, I'm like, oh, you're never doing that again. So, I mean, we just foster, and also the teamwork aspect, right? Like business and succeeding and even bodybuilding. Like if you ever had a good training partner, it shows you that that can elevate you. Sports, you learn to rely on your team, even in individual sports. Like both of my sons wrestle. One of them plays football. They played soccer. And, you know, the wrestling team, like it's an individual sport, right? I just went to Virginia Beach and I've gone on these trips with soccer teams. I've gone on these trips with football teams to a lesser extent. We don't travel as far. But wrestlers, they're literally like a family, and because they suffer together. So I just look at it like, hey, we're doing something special for these kids.
I love the message that you're there because you're teaching them more about life and things that are going to carry through their work, their families, their communities. You know, I haven't coached at the scale that you have with youth, but I got an opportunity a couple of years ago to start coaching my nephew. He's 13 now. We finally got him in the gym. We built him out a home gym. He's crushing it, putting on loads of muscle, getting strong. I show him your son's videos all the time. I'm like, look at this kid. He's like half your size and he's I got him doing the hex bar deadlifts. I'm
yes.
Like, he's lifting
hex bar deadlifts, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, but I was out there. I was working with a team that was 13, 14, 15, and 16-year-old boys playing rec league baseball. So these are kids that are like not on the varsity team, not even on a travel team. This is rec league baseball. I remember stepping out to the first practice and like half the team had shorts on and no baseball hats. And I pulled the head coach aside. I said, what are we doing here? They're like, well, it's rec baseball. You can only expect so much. I'm like, no, you set expectations from the beginning. If you don't show up, like you don't get to perform. You don't get to practice. You don't get to play. And he kind of gave me the platform. Like I was my first day out there. I was like the assistant coach on the team. And I said, guys, like I'm here to teach you guys about life. There's a handful of you that may go on to play at the next level. Very few of you are going to make a career out of playing sports. But if we can teach you discipline, work ethic, collaboration, teamwork, all these things, those will be life lessons. And I've kind of pulled on some relationships that I have with high level SEALs and stuff like that, like kind of the lessons they've learned through me. But I was asked a question one time, who is the most influential person in my life? And I think because I worked so much with youth and I coach men today, I instantly went to my 12-year-old baseball coach, Coach Bob Hall. I still remember, like, he's the first guy that taught me hard work. He's the first guy that taught me delayed gratification, putting in the time that will pay off later on down the road. Was there a coach in Mark's life that really opened his eyes up and kind of instilled this passion that's led you to doing what you're doing here today with the youth?
Why you got to make me cry like a bitch, bro? Like, you know I'm going to cry. Like, you've seen my shit. I am emotional. I cry, and I don't care. People are like, you shouldn't cry in front of your wife. Man, I cry in front of random strangers. I don't care. At the end of the day, fight me. Right? No, I'm just playing. So I'd be dead right now if it wasn't for Coach Miles. Like, Coach Cornell Miles was our linebacker coach, and he's the one who took me under his wing when I was going through some really tough times. And he's the one who got – I mean, I literally – so I knew in California – when I grew up, and again, I'm not, this isn't the political show. This isn't Evening Rants. Okay. So I know at the time, and again, like, I'm a Democrat at the time. So just put that in, like, I'm a teenager in California. I'm obviously not a Republican. So I knew that affirmative action was making it where Asians and whites were not getting into UC schools or any California schools unless they were private. It is what it is. They had quotas. And it is what it is. Whether you agree with that or not, don't give a shit. This is what I was doing. I was undersized, and I knew that the only way I get out of my situation, my family was, again, it had its good and bad. At the end of the day, my mom's a drug addict. My dad was really sick with type 2 diabetes, ended up passing away at a young age for me. So I knew that the only way out of my situation was college. And I knew I wasn't going to do it with my brains. I had a 3.2, whatever, but I wasn't going to get a 4.0. I just didn't have it in me. I knew that football was my ticket. I already tried baseball. While I did start on the freshman baseball team, I was the ninth guy. You know what? I wasn't going anywhere from there. If you don't have the skill in ninth grade, you know it. And you know who's moving on. You know who's going playing varsity next year. I wasn't him because there were a bunch of kids on JV. I might have started my senior year. I bet on football. 170 pounds, soaking wet. And Coach Miles used to train with this kid. His name was Leon Hatton. He was a year older than me, outside linebacker, going into senior year, going for broke, trying to get that D1 scholarship and trying to win state. There were two words we knew. We only knew two things. We knew state championship and we knew D1. We knew nothing else. We didn't think about anything else. We didn't know anything else. One day after school, I mustered up the courage, and Leon and Coach Miles, we'd have our 1:30 to 2:30 training session for the team. That's when Leon and Coach Miles would train. And nobody ever today, like, just leave them alone. They're crazy. Put in perspective, I'm a short white guy. They're two big black guys. Okay. So make it even more awkward. So I went up one day and I'm like, hey, I'm going to start next year. Remember, I only started on JV because we had 14 kids and they had no choice but to start me. Because there's freshmen who's a big team. Varsity is a big team. JV is the shit kids where I grew up, right? It's the sophomores and juniors who suck. Like, we lost by like 50 points a game. And, so I went up, I said, hey guys, I'm going to start next year, 170 pounds. And dude, they laughed at me, bro. Like, Coach Miles, and Coach Miles, big guy. Like, he has, like, his teeth are a little messed up. Just a burly guy, has like this really harsh, like, inner city / Southern accent. Leon's just a cool dude. Leon was cool. And they're like, Coach Miles, all right, Loeb, if you can hang with us on incline, we'll let you train with us. And I'm like, dude, I don't think I'd ever done incline before. You know what I mean? And so I went in. Somehow I got like a buck 35 for 10. I have no idea how I did it. And they were like, all right. And I was sore for the next 2 months, but like I hung with them. So from that point on, you know, we would train every single day. We train with Coach Miles from 2:30 to 4:30. After that, Leon and me would go do conditioning with the basketball team till 6:30. So we would train 4 or 5 hours a day. Long story short, got me from 170 to 240 in 2 months. Because Coach Miles also knew the value of McDonald's. So I Loeb, and at that time we had dollar Big Macs on sale. So I'd go get 5 or 6 Big Macs. I'd shove them down. And then I bought this cheap weight gainer, the Weider weight gainer, Mass Gainer 2000. Remember that shit? Got that from Big Five Sporting Goods across the street from the school. Would mix it with whatever. And I didn't have much money. I would mix it with cookies and ice cream, whatever I could buy cheap. But Coach Miles literally was a strong man who took me under my wing. I was getting into a lot of trouble, getting in a lot of fights, got me out of that situation, and he saved my life. Again, like, he probably to this day doesn't know it. Like, Coach Miles, he's still actually coaching. I mean, he's got to be 60-something years old. Because I remember he looked old as shit when I was Kuske, but dude was, he was that guy who could rep 405. Like, it was like a buck 35. He was that guy. Played in the CFL, just a big dude. Another guy was Coach Scott McCrilla, who came in my senior year, and he actually helped me put all my VHS tapes together to send to colleges so I get recruited. So there were two men in my life, and that's why I coach. I always said that God gave me this gift to be pretty good at business. I'm not the best. There's a lot better than me. But the goal is to make enough money where I could just coach, because you're never going to become like coaching kids is not going to be. Look, man, I haven't made a dime from Legacy. All my money goes back into the facility and to pay Coach Bryce, who's the best there is at what he does. Bryce Beal, if you don't know about him now, you will. He's a savant. The guy is amazing. So he came over, he had his own facility in Illinois, and he sold it because he believed in the mission we have in Franklin, Tennessee. So this is just a solid dude. Surround yourself with the best, get the best. And I just want to make sure he's taken care of, and I want to make sure that his family's taken care of, because he's the best there is. This guy, I've seen him literally, like, I have to talk him out of letting every kid live with him, because he's that guy. Like, he has kids come back to get ready for combines. They'll stay at his house. Like, he's just such a good person. So yeah, I mean, and Bryce and me, we try to, you know, I try to be, if I can just help one kid or save one kid, then I've paid it forward, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. You know, like I said, Coach Bob Hall for me, Coach Miles for you, these kids that you have your hands on now, the boys and girls, they'll be sitting on a podcast one day. Someone will be interviewing them. How have you achieved all the things? They'll be like, Coach Mark, Coach Mark, Coach Mark. Talk to us about Legacy. You mentioned it a couple times. I'm familiar with what the facility is, but, you know, maybe the full audience is. Tell us about Legacy Carbon.
Legacy at Carbon is a youth performance facility located in Franklin, Tennessee. We are inside of Carbon Performance, which is a freaking awesome gym. But we're our own space. So we are our own business inside the business, hence its Legacy at Carbon. That way we just put it in the name, made it easy for everybody. So we train everybody from 9U baseball players. We train entire baseball teams. We train the entire page, a local high school. They were number two in state. Now that we're training them, they better win. Number two sucks. All right. So we train kids. It's about, I would say if you look at it, it's about strength, speed, injury prevention, right? Those are the three things that you need to look at. Obviously, there's agility, all those other things, but we're about 25 to 30% strength within our sessions. But we have kids, like, for example, we have this kid, his name's DJ Curl, came to us and he played for Centennial, and he was running a five. And we have, again, testimony for, no, everybody called me a liar for saying this. So this kid came to us going into his senior year, was running a 5.3 in the 40-yard dash. In 8 weeks, we got him down to a 4.5. And he gained 35 pounds of muscle. So again, like, if you put in the work, we have this kid now who's Eric Hazard. This kid's a monster. He went from 208. He's now 259 pounds. Now he's meeting with all the big D1 schools. We have these other kids that are just doing great with this kid. Dom's amazing. But the thing we got to look at, we have wrestlers. We got kids like, got the coach at Ringwood. His name's Josh Peck. His kid's name is Brody. He just started after wrestling season, which is just, he's already gained 6 pounds of all muscle, and he's moving better. His everything's better. You know, we have kids who come in and can barely like do lateral movements, and then we have them like looking like athletes, moving like athletes. Their posture's better. And I always say this, like, how does it prevent injuries? Let me ask you this. If you have a kid who can barely stand on his own without having improper posture, to a kid who can deadlift and hold 400 pounds in his hands with his knees not valgus, which is knees not caving in, which is more likely to get injured on the field? The strong kid or the kid who can't even support his own body weight? But again, like, parents are like, what about stunting growth? Like, that's such an old wives tale that even it's even older than my wife, right? Like, hopefully she doesn't hear this. It's such a fable, and it's been disproven by science. First of all, it was never proven by science, but since then it's been disproven, where even the Academy of Pediatrics says that it's healthy for children to have a structured and supervised weight training program. And I just look at the way, you know, our kids are just dominating, and just, we're pulling ahead of everybody. We're taking over the area. And honestly, my goal, if they don't copy us, I want local facilities to copy us. Copy us. Come in. Well, there's no secret sauce. Come in. Watch. You know, come in. There's a big corporate entity. It rhymes with D1. They're in the area. Come in. See what we're doing. That was just playing. But see what we're doing. But you know what? If you don't want to take from us, then we're going to just take from you. We're going to put everybody out of business, because we're going to do what's best for the kids. Kids come first, and we're not about the money. I have the bag. I have the money. This is a passion project. I'm losing money on this, and I never plan on making money. If I make money, I'm throwing it back into this thing, getting better equipment, getting better measuring tools, getting velocity training systems. This is some people, look, man, Some people buy a car. Let me give you an example. We sold Ambrosia. You know, some might have thought I bought a nice car, whatever. You know, maybe I did this. No, you know what I bought? I bought a VO camera so I could film my kids' games. It has AI. It follows the people on the pitch. I'm filming like our lacrosse players. I'm filming our football players. So that's where my priorities are. Like, I don't need a car. A car just gets me. I got a car. Gets me from point A to point B. I'm going to drive that Yukon till the wheels fall off. But at the end of the day, man, it's like the passion and the joy you get. There's no car in the world. There's no like Lambo in the world that'll give me the joy of watching my kids on Friday night go out and beat the living crap out of the other team. That's what makes me happy. That's what makes me smile.
Yeah, we got to make competition great again, man. This whole generation, you know, that kind of grew up with participation trophies, and it's like we're not really out. I went to a Little League game. It was young kids, obviously. I think 8, 9, 10 years old, maybe. They weren't even keeping score, and they're like, oh, they're just out here to have fun. It's like you have fun when you're 4. You have fun when you're 5. Like by the time you're 8 and you understand the rules and the kids are pitching to each other, keep score. Like you got to have that competitive nature. The world is competition. Business is competition. Fitness is competition. The dating marketplace is competition. Buying a home is competition. You got to begin to teach these lessons. I literally said you want people to kind of swipe what you guys are doing and kind of steal all the secrets. I'm not sure the last time you were in Tampa, but you know the powerhouse, which used to be downtown, moved a little bit norther onto Hillsborough. I'm not sure if you've been to the
powerhouse. I think I have been. And how long ago was that?
This was in 2017. They moved location, and they originally had a D1 in there, and then that ended up getting bought out by a former college player. I think he played in the CFL as well, maybe in the AFL, Taylor. But he's built the Trench Academy out, which is very similar to what you guys are doing with Carbon. So they work with pro athletes, getting them ready for the combine. They got the back behind the building facility out there. But they got kids on Saturday morning at 8 years old that are out there hitting dummies, lifting weights. So for the parents that maybe don't have access to Carbon, can't get into the Trench, and they want to kind of start working with some of their kids at home, they have a lot of fathers that are going to listen to this. You said it's never too soon to start. So we know kids can't start at any age. What are some of the basics that I guess maybe a father, a kid, parents can kind of begin to do with their children to begin to make some progress moving forward if they don't have access to the facility like you do?
I mean, looking at what we do now, if you do need assistance, I'm not going to do a sales job, but we do offer correspondence coaching. I know Doug Miller is core nutritionals. So we actually coach Doug's kids. By the way, his kids are genetic freaks like him. And I still to this day hate Doug for having better genetics than me. But he's also the hardest worker in any room. Like Doug Miller, like, you know, the only reason I ever dislike that guy is because I'm immensely jealous of him. Like dude was like his high school valedictorian. Like, I mean, fuck that guy. But I'm just playing. Doug's my boy. But we train his kids. We do the programming. They send videos. We send tutorial videos. So we do remote. If you go to legacy@carbon.com, you can sign up for online coaching. That's something we do. But again, I'm not going to sell you on it. What can you do without spending money? I know you guys are on a budget. The thing is, you got to learn regression. So people say, when is the first time a kid should lift? And I actually say the first time they lift is tummy time. Everybody who's had kids know what tummy time is. You take your kid out of the crib, you put it on their stomach on the floor, and they're like a turtle, like, but what are they doing? They're strengthening their necks. They can hold their head. Because when you have a baby, you have to support their head, or else like, so how do you make that stronger? They're literally doing a neck machine neck raise. Like, I looked at tummy time and I'm like, I had an epiphany. I'm like, holy shit, this is literally weight training. So why is it, well, you're not doing weights. You are your head. It's a heavy head. Have you seen a baby's neck in relation to their head?
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, there's something called regressions. So I'm going to go over, I would need at least 5 hours to go over everything. So let's just go over some real ones. Like, and you could deduce. So for example, you have to have qualifiers. So let's say your goal is to do a deadlift. So what do I need for a deadlift? I need to have neutral spine, which is basically, I know a lot of people are saying neutral spine doesn't matter. I'm going to say it can't hurt to have neutral spine. Basically, if you're standing, you want to look at an imaginary object 10 feet in front of you on the floor. Fixate on that. So when you're doing a deadlift, that is what you want to do. I usually put a mini band in front of kids because kids tend to do this. They just do. But if you fixate their eyes, where your eyes go, your head goes. So it just fixates it and keeps it in place. Again, you turn your head, you're lifting load, bad things can happen. So if I'm looking to do a deadlift, number one is, can I support my body? Do I have a strong core? A plank's a good movement to be able to do. Another thing is, am I able to move my legs without valgus? Valgus is the caving of the knees. There's a new debate in powerlifting, and there's actually a new study that shows that valgus is not a bad thing during squats. completely agree if you're a powerlifter. If you watch, what's her name? She's got a huge following. If you lift good, makeup done, hair done, lift good, look good, whatever. I forgot her name, but she actually has terrible valgus, but she's crazy strong. So if I'm her trainer, I'm letting her do valgus because the girl weighs like 150 pounds. She's squatting like 400 pounds. It's like we did an exercise when I was getting my mentorship at Exos, and it was, hey, you're Usain Bolt's coach. And they had us, you know, dissect his running form. Well, what would you tell him to do? And I'm like trying to like, tell him nothing. He's fucking Usain Bolt. So, you know what I mean? So at the end of the day, so can they move without valgus of the knees? That's your knees caving in. So I like to do a slant board goblet squat because that takes out the whole flexibility, mobility issue, which a lot of people lack. So I like to have a slant board. We have, I think, 13 of them at Legacy. We have, and we sell them at tigerfitness.com. I love them so much, I made my own. So what I'll do is if they have valgus, we put mini bands around their knees because that gives them a cue to push out. But it also prevents them from pushing out too far because some kids, you say, do not push out your knees. They're going to do a squat. It looks weird because their knees are coming out here. So it gives
them, they go bowlegged.
Yeah. So it gives them that just, so you have the goblets, you got that goblet squat with the mini band. Okay. You load it. This might take 2 to 3, 4 weeks. Depends on the athlete. Might take 10 minutes. It depends on the athlete. That's another thing. There's no timeline. Just like kids develop differently. Like my daughter was reading at 8 months old. My son didn't read till 3. I thought he was retarded. Turns out he was just a boy and boys are stupid. He can read now, by the way, he's 15, 16. So after that, do they have core mobility? Now you already, core strength. You already tested that during the goblet squat when you loaded it, but you know, let's see if they can hold a 30 second plank. Let's just test that out. Why not? Takes no time. Good, check that off. The next thing I like to do is a wall facing deadlift. Have you ever done these? I have tutorials, a wall-facing deadlift. You hold a dumbbell or a kettlebell in front of you. You stand with your feet about, I'd say about 6 inches from the wall. And you go down while holding it between your legs, the dumbbell or the kettlebell between your legs. And you have to keep your back upright. And the reason that works is if you mess up, you smack your face into the wall. So what better way to teach them? Like, hey, I can't really screw this up. So then you do that. You load it, get up to an appreciable weight, like depending on the athlete, between 30 and 60 pounds, you're good to go. Then you put them in the hex bar. And you'll find when you do that, they'll still have the valgus issue. Go right back to putting the mini bands around the knees. So that's how you regress it. Now take that for squats. Very similar progression with squats. I never start with back squats. I always start with goblet squats. I love the slant board. It's dummy proof. You don't have to worry about range of motion issues. We love the slant boards. We absolutely love slant boards. We love them. So those are just some tips, obviously, for bench press. Most kids can't do the bar on its own anyway, so you have to start with regressions. Obviously, push-ups, single arm dumbbell, double arm dumbbell, and just making sure the shoulder's stable. You know, different things you do, band pull-aparts, make sure this is in check. Like, there's so many things you can do, but it's about the regression. So the key word for training youth athletes is regressions.
Regressions. I love that. And I think everything you said there too was natural-based movements, things that they're going to be doing on the field in life. You're not putting them in a pec deck machine or in a fixed isolated row machine. It's like, I see so many kids at the gym that are training with their dads and like, dad's got a decent physique. You can tell he's put his time in the gym, but he's like, he's in his 40s, his kid's 12, and he's like, got him doing hammer strength rows. And it's like, get that kid moving some real weight through natural planes of movement. That's going to be so much more valuable to his connective tissue, to his ability to balance, coordination, all these other things that athletes need to be focused on. So I appreciate that. Guys, check out legacy@carbon.com though, if you want to actually get some training for your youth out there.
Yeah, man. Bryce needs to eat, bro. Bryce needs to eat. We got to feed Bryce. Bryce is a big man. We need to feed Bryce.
He's trying to hang with Mark and that IFBB Pro Physique. So
Bryce is bigger than me and he's much more Bryce. So I know you want to move on, but I got to tell this story. So one time we had a 10-year-old football team in and we have a football pad because we work with a lot of football players and we know how to coach football. And I'm like, okay, Bryce, show him how to strike the bag. He goes, are you sure? I'm like, dude, I'm not a pussy. Come on, let's go. Bro, he hit me so hard that my soul and my air flew out of my body. And I had to pretend I wasn't hurt. Like this guy's power, I did not expect it. And Bryce is a big 260 pound man. Like, so I'm like, okay, we're never doing that again.
Like good demonstration. We're never doing it again.
No, you're fired.
Yeah. Talk to me about winning your IFBB Pro card. You've had obviously a very decorated fitness career. I think you were a pro natural bodybuilder early on in your...
NABBA. So I competed naturally in the NPC up until I was 27. Then I got blood work back that said my testosterone sucked. It was like 70. So my general, it's so bad, my general practitioner put me on test. Like, that's how bad it was. For those of you who've ever dealt with doctors, GPs do not like putting you on test. But he's like, dude, if we don't put you on this, like, you're going to risk problems. So anyway, so yeah, I competed. I never competed in a natural show because to me, again, like, I'm a guy who, you know, I always felt that, and again, I helped start the, you know, ANBF. I love natural bodybuilding. But I always felt like it was lower and I never wanted to compete in, it was like playing arena football when you could play in the NFL. And with bodybuilding, you don't have to make the team. You just have to pay $50. So I'm like, I want to go against the drug guys. So at 27, I started TRT. And in 2013, I got my NABBA pro card. NABBA at the time was crushing it internationally. It was a competing professional organization, IFBB. And I was doing that show as a warm-up show for nationals, and I ended up winning it. And then they're like, well, you have to give up your NABBA pro card to compete in this. And I'm like, I just won it. And so then I retired for 7 years and boxed.
Yeah. And then after boxing, you made a comeback into the IFBB. And I remember when you won that, like, I mean, you made a joke about moving to tears when you shared the story of Coach Miles. I don't know if you moved to tears when you won the IFBB pro card, but I remember you talking about how it was one of the most proudest moments of your life. And I don't want to put those words into your mouth, so correct me if that's wrong there. What did winning the IFBB pro card mean to you at over 40 years old, having accomplished all the things you have in business, career, family, all these other things? Like, very few guys make that comeback when they have the calendar of things that they're doing on a daily basis that you were.
I actually tweeted it today. When I won, there were two texts that I saw first. One was from Jay Cutler. Shout out to Jay Cutler. He was the first one to text me. And I don't even think he knows that, but he texted me like the minute. I mean, it was like if you look at the timestamp. But the other was my family sent a video of them celebrating. I just posted on Twitter today, X. I tweeted it. And every time I watch that video, I cry because it's one of those things where I always tell my kids that if you work hard, it might not happen tomorrow, but you're going to win the war. And also, if you've ever been on the internet, it's an extremely toxic place. A lot of people say a lot of mean things about me. I still don't know why. It's probably because I'm opinionated and I do have some lagging body parts. I mean, people are like, your arms are small. I'm like, I have a mirror. I do. I can see. Trust me, I'm harder on myself than anybody is on me. So what you're saying to me, I already see it. So for me, number one, it validated my message to the kids, to my kids, to the kids we coach. And it was that, hey, you know, if you work hard enough, good things will happen. It might not happen tomorrow, but keep working hard. And it just, because I keep telling my kids, I'm like, hey, winning is everything. Like, you have to work to win. Winning is life. You have to win in life. So it validated that message. Because I've been saying it, it's like, well, what have you won lately, you know? And number two is that it really, for some reason, and I'm not going to lie, it was a big fuck you to everybody on the internet who said I couldn't do it. And I got to be real. Like, I my life is 100% driven by revenge. Like, a lot of people don't know, when I got fired from I got fired from that Sylvester Stallone company by a guy named John Arnold. And he fired me because he said his reason for firing me, he said, well, the account seemed to like you, but I don't like you. And he didn't think I was good enough to do what I was doing. I would put money on it that I'm more successful than he's ever been. So every day I wake up, I might not think of it directly, but I have John Arnold right here in my brain. Right here. Vince Andrich was the consultant for the company and he didn't do anything wrong. He just didn't have my back. And for me, loyalty is everything. Like, I've had so many situations where I've lost money. I've lost because I am loyal to my friends. I am loyal to my partners. And Vince just showed that he's a self-serving coward. So, and everybody online is way, way, way distant, but in business, whenever I feel like I can't accomplish something, I think about the people in the past who said I couldn't do something. People in the past who did me wrong. Vince, I hold no grudge against, none. Vince has a family. He needed a paycheck. I understand. 99% of I wouldn't have done it, I don't think, but I've never been put in that position, right? I've never been put in his position. It's always good to say you'd do something. It's always easy to say that until you're confronted with not getting paid and having a mortgage and having kids. Now, John Arnold is just a piece of shit. And I have ragged this guy for the last 2004. It's been 20 years of shitting on this guy. And I will continue to shit on him even after he dies or I die. I will shit on him from the grave. Like, this guy was just not a good person. But I thank him, because if John Arnold wouldn't have fired me, I wouldn't be where I am today. John Arnold, while I don't like the guy, he gave me the greatest gift in that he gave me, I'm basically like a woman scorned. I had a mission, right? I had to prove him wrong. And all my life, whether it's a teacher who said I wouldn't amount to anything, whether it's a coach who said I wasn't good enough, whether it's a troll online who said I'll never get an IFBB pro card, man, I love that shit. It's fuel. Like, it really drives me. And I just, that's the only way you could, what else are you going to do? Like, you either let it bounce off you. I don't think anybody can let it bounce off them. I don't think it's possible. You're going to hear it. You're going to see it. It's going to affect you in some way. You either use this fuel or it impacts you in a negative way. For me, when I see that negativity, when I see that hatred, when I see that lack of belief, that just makes me fight even harder to prove them wrong.
I haven't heard you talk a lot about your upbringing. You mentioned it earlier on in the conversation today, though, that I think mom was a drug addict and dad had some health issues, ended up with diabetes. What, if any, role did home life play in kind of fueling some of this revenge component? Or how did your childhood and kind of growing up with an addict mother kind of shape who you are today?
I should be dead right now. Like, the situations I put myself in as a youth, I should be dead right now. And again, like, my mom is a great person at heart. Like, she's a woman who, she fought in the Israeli Defense Force. She immigrated here at 14 years old, went back and fought for Israel. Again, I'm going to piss off a bunch of pro-Palestine people. My bad. Everyone's like, no, Israel sucks. I'm like, okay, I'm not there. I'm in America. So my mom's a great person. She's a hard worker, first generation American, did a lot of things. She owned a business. She owned a cookie store. So I look at things differently. Like, my mom she got addicted to drugs because, have you guys, I know a lot of people watching this, they've been to war. There's a lot of guys watching this who probably went to Afghanistan. You've seen some shit. And so not only that, you have the impact of this traumatic stress you went through, seeing people die, killing people, right? Because in Israel, like, they kill a lot of people and they get a lot of friends killed. It's been a war zone, guys, since biblical times. Like, this isn't new. Okay. So you have that. She had tremendous back injury from car accidents and just working through it. So, I mean, this is a woman who's had over, I think she's up to over 50 back surgeries. Like, she is in pain. So she's a victim of drug addiction. And, you know, it's one of those things where it is what it is. You know, my dad would travel, or at the end of my high school tenure, he was having a lot of strokes and, you know, really he lost his vision. He lost his hearing. So, you know, I was alone. Like, I raised myself from pretty much, I'd say, the age of probably 12 on. Like, I had to figure out what, like, I can't imagine my 16-year-old fending for himself. I was doing it at 12. My 16-year-old just figured out how to use a microwave. I'm just playing. So you had to figure things out. And at 16 years old, you know, number one is Coach Miles came along slightly before then. So I was starting to get out of that situation. And at 16, So at 16, you know, I was, my wife asked me on a date, and that's when I turned it around. And at the end of that, I got off the street life and I had a reason to live, and it was football and my wife. That was it. I had training and had my wife. That was it. So I was fortunate. And so every day I'm driven to not be broke. I don't want to mess up. I don't, like, up until, like, my dad got sick and my mom had her problems. Like, my life was pretty awesome. Like, we owned a cookie store in Simi Valley, California called the Gookie Cookie Company. Like, life was good. And then it seems like overnight it just fell apart. And so every day I'm so afraid of failing that I keep working harder and harder to not fail.
Appreciate that, Mark. Really, really do. You know, as much of this fun character, not that you play, but that you are, this personality, joke and pulling, we've kind of gone all these kind of different rants and tangents here. Like, you showed the real human side of you there, man. So I really do appreciate that. And, you know, if Katie hears this, like, the impact she's had on you and what that moment did, not just for your life, but the thousands or tens of thousands or millions at this point that you've been able to reach through everything that you've done. Like, it truly has been world changing. And we appreciate that. And, you know, it's a true honor to have you here today, because I remember, man, you're somebody that, you know, before going to the gym, I'm like, what's going on tigerfitness.com today? Like the pec pump and all that stuff, man. So, you know, you've had an impact on me and so many men out there. So we really, really, really do appreciate you. What advice do you give to, you know, I know you've been on Fresh and Fit. You talk a lot about being a man, masculinity, like the where the world is going. What advice do you give to young men that are out there that are, you know, maybe not 16, maybe they're 25, maybe they're 35 and they're still trying to find their way. How did they find a Katie, or how did they find a Coach Miles, or what's the best piece of advice for a guy right now that is looking to find his way in this world?
Well, I think every interaction you have, make it a good one. Like, make your impression on people good. Like, be nice to people. Strike up conversations with the clerk at the grocery store. You know, talk to people. Be nice. Be an extrovert. Get out there and network. And honestly, just be a good person. Like, I don't know what the dating scene's like. I couldn't tell you how to pick up a girl. I don't know. Like, my wife's here. I didn't have to date, like, outside of, like, teens. So I couldn't, like, dating is much different now. You got Tinder and Match.com. Back in the day, we had the mall and the cafeteria. Like, I couldn't tell you how that works. But as far as men go, it's a pretty simple adage to live by. And that's, the harder you work, the luckier you get. A lot of people come home and they're done. And I know it sounds counterintuitive. You only live once. You want to have fun. But if you want success, you're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to work more hours. You know, when I started at Weider, for the first week there, and I'm 19 years old, I knew that the first guy got in there at 7:30. So I got in there at 7. I knew that my boss, Laya, who I'm still friends with, Laya Clark, I knew that he was Hawaiian and he didn't start his day till 11. He left at 7:15. So I would get there at 7. And I'd leave at 7:40 because I made sure I was the first one there and the last one to leave. Now, guys, I understand it's hard to find enough money to live with the world right now. There's so many opportunities to make more money, whether it's Grubhub deliveries, whether it's Uber driving. Keep working, invest your money. And if you find a project that you love, don't quit your job and just do it. Moonlight with it. Build it, build it, build it, build it. And when it's big enough, then go all in. You got these Gary V types who's like, just give up everything, follow your dream. Gary V was gifted a multi-million dollar wine company from his parents. Gary V doesn't know what it's like to be broke. So keep the income coming in. Take your opportunities to make as much money as possible. Invest in yourself. And number one thing, guys, be fit. Stay in shape. Your health is number one. The fitter you are, the smarter you are. We know this. We know that your brain operates better when you exercise. We know all this stuff. If you want to find a good girl, I'm just being real. Women might say they want the dad bod. It's a lie. It's a lie. And they've done these tests, these on the street things. Like, no, women still like guys who are, and I'm not saying you need abs. I'm just saying, don't be fat. Be in somewhat a good shape. If you're just simply not fat in this competitive atmosphere, you are winning. Like, you're going to find that you will have plenty of women to choose from what I see. Again, not personal experience, but just simply being fit. Because what do women want? They want protection. They want support. They want someone to provide for them. If you're weak and fat, like, you're cutting out a lot of opportunity for women. So don't be weak. Don't be fat.
Well, your body in your image is your business card these days, right? You know, you're going to get more opportunities in business. You're going to get more opportunities coming your way. You're going to get more opportunities in the female dating marketplace. You know, it's interesting that the whole dad bod conversation, I think that there was a viral clip that went around that like girls on the street were shown kind of two images. And it's like, which one's the dad bod? And I think the one that they actually picked was like sebum off season. Like their, even their understanding of what a dad bod really is just a little bit thicker of a guy, like not a true like Homer Simpson physique. Like you said, girls want a guy that is strong, can protect. Maybe he's not peeled to the core, right? That's that whole Joe Weider lie. We talked about that a few episodes back. Like when you get ripped and shredded, like you have girls just kind of hanging all around you. If anything, you're gonna attract more men if you get too lean.
Dude,
right?
So when I was younger and better looking, like, dude, I got so many offers to do like gay stuff for money. And like my wife would be like, how much? And I'm like, you can't be my pimp, Katie. No, you can't. I'm just playing. Like she wasn't going to pimp me out. Now my daughter would pimp me out. One time this guy brought me like a gift bag and at this event, and it was like stuff she liked, cause it was like gay guy stuff, and gay guys and white girls, very similar in their likes. And so it was like, she's like, dad, you need to do this more often. I'm like, really? I'm like, are you trying to be my pimp? So getting in obscene shape again, it's not attainable for most. You have work, you have kids, you have priorities. It's a lot of work, but you can be in really great shape with 45 to 60 minutes a day and just not eating like an asshole.
And I always tell the guys, I coach and mentor a lot of young men that are in their 20s. If you're single in your 20s, you don't have a family, you don't have the responsibilities, you're finding your way, maybe you're just getting started in business and entrepreneurship, that is the time to build as much muscle as you possibly can. Do with your physique what you can, push it to its limits in its 20s, because then in your 30s, when you get in your 40s, I turned 40 last August, it's like you get to pay, it's like that compounding interest pays off. It's like you put the work in when you're younger, then when you're 40, you don't have to go as hard. Now, if you love to train, which you do, I still love to go hard in the gym, 5-6 days a week. So I'm still going to push it, but I wouldn't have to because I spent 20 years building my physique through my teens, 20s, and even into my 30s. So yeah, love that so much, Mark. This has been incredible, man. Really grateful to have you on here today. Tell the guys where they can best connect with you. What are you most excited about right now? You've talked about selling Ambrosia. You got a few different companies. You got the Outright Bar, Tiger Fitness, MTS, you got your coaching. Where do you want to point these guys to maybe explore, go a little bit deeper with you? And then we'll wrap it up with a last and final question here.
Ambrosia is still near and dear to my heart. It's still my brand, right? I just have awesome partners. Like, again, I love these guys. So Planta and the Ambrosia line, we're available at all Sprouts locations. We're available at Vitamin Shop, tigerfitness.com, ambrosiacollective.com is our home. If you want to go give Sprouts and Vitamin Shop some love, if you happen to be there, always helps with that relationship. Tigerfitness.com is my site. Everything you buy from there supports me. MTS Nutrition, the Outright Bar, as well as Pump Chasers. Those are my brands. Take a look at those, especially on social media. Obviously Legacy of Carbon went over that. On social media, it's at Mark Lobliner on Twitter, Instagram, and those are the main two. And then YouTube, it's youtube.com/Tiger Fitness. Then the political like clips are youtube.com/Lobliner. On Rumble, it's YouTube, it's rumble.com/Tiger Fitness. Every night, we have the evening rants at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard, Monday through Thursday, with Alan and I. Again, if you get offended by political discussion and risque current event topics, don't watch it. I want you to love me for fitness. But if you're into that kind of stuff, we have great discussions, and it's very fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. Guys, we'll have all that plugged down in the show notes. And Mark, I'm looking forward to joining you on the evening rants. Hopefully we can kind of stir up some debate and dialogue there as well. But last question, we'd love to end the show here with the same question for everybody. The title of this podcast is called The Superhuman Life. And for me, it's kind of been a 5-year kind of explorative journey of figuring out what a superhuman life means to me. I'm a man of faith, so I do believe that we're put here for a purpose. There's a calling on each and every single one of our lives. But I think a lot of people stop there. They're like, yeah, I'm here for a purpose. Now, God, what are you going to do with me? I think we need to be very intentional about our personal development, our growth, and then how we bring and foster that purpose into the world for the service of others. So when you pair all that kind of together, it's more of a belief system for me living a superhuman life, but I love to always get the guest take. So IFBB Pro, CEO, founder, Mark Lobliner, how would you define living a superhuman life?
Legacy. What are you doing for the next generation? And what are you doing for your current generation? So when you die, nobody cares what car you drove. Nobody's going to care how big your house is. Your kids can benefit from generational wealth, so you pass that down. And also, what are people going to remember you for? Now, I'm not saying to live your life trying to create some false sense, but when you make every decision, I want you to think, how will this impact the next generation? How will this impact my legacy? And I guarantee you, you'll make better decisions, because a lot of us look at the short term. Oh, here's a way to make $200, but will that impact your ability to make $2,000 later on? You're going to see a lot of that with the OnlyFans girls and a lot of people selling themselves or posting, you know, risque pictures on the internet. That's going to impact their ability to develop as a human being and as a person, as a career person later on. See 19-year-old girls selling their ass on OnlyFans when they're going to go and they're going to get a degree, they're going to pay for their college. And what are they going to do as soon as they enter? You do this when you hire people, you Google them. And you're going to see that. So I think that a lot of us look at the short term, and I think we need short term, right? We need to pay our bills now, but we need to do it in a way that isn't going to negatively impact our future and beyond our own personal future. How is it going to impact your future after you leave the current body that you're in, whether you believe your soul goes to heaven or whatever it is? I think that we need to be very knowledgeable or very aware of what our impact is on this earth. Because you look at people like Gandhi, like Muhammad Ali, who leave this legacy, who they're still talked about years and years and years beyond their death, how they impacted so many lives. And I'm not saying any of us here are going to be like them, but in our own little circle, our own little world, our own little sphere of influence, what do you want to be remembered as?
I love that. Legacy at Carbon. For me, that's one of the greatest fulfillments that I get out of what I get to do, and I get to help a man that's been struggling in this area. And I hear from his wife, or I hear him talk about the relationship that he's had with his kids. I know that's generational impact. It's interesting you've titled, you know, your training Legacy at Carbon. Like, you're creating legacies for these families, right? These kids are going to go on to be incredible CEOs, incredible executives, incredible fathers and leaders and mothers in their community and organization. So I love that so much. One bit on the OnlyFans bit here, and then we'll close it out. But do you know the average content creator on Instagram makes $182 per month, and the top 1% produces 33% of all of the revenue. So there's definitely a lie that is being told to these young women out there that this is the gateway. Yes, one, two, breakthrough, go on to make a lot of impact, but they had to sell so much of their soul to get there. So
yeah. And I'm very proud of my daughter. She got her first job. She is a service assistant at Outback, making more money than I made till I was in my 30s. She's hustling, and that's,
and she's got a business too, right? Didn't you partner with her on a supplement?
She has Lacuna Nutrition, which is actually, she developed because she used to get these hemiplegic migraines, and she researched what causes these, like what deficiencies cause these. So she came with this product called Omnia, which is actually all naturally flavored and everything. And it's meant for youth athletes or adolescent females as the target market. Very proud of her for that. And she did everything herself. Like, I was there to obviously, okay, here's what you do for insurance. Here's the manufacturing side. I'm not just going to let a 16-year-old at the time go and navigate that on her own. But she learned more than a 4-year degree just starting that brand. And again, like, so far so good with my kids. And I think 99% of it, not to carry this on too long, I know you have places to be, but just to get on my rant, is fathers, be there for your kids. Don't just be there. Don't just be there physically. Actually be there. Put down your phone. Play with your damn kids. Talk to them. Be a part of their lives.
We'll leave it there, guys. Guys, connect with Mark. All his sites, all his companies, his social media, the Rumbles, the TikToks, the Instagrams, all that stuff. We'll plug your daughter's company down there as well. Mark, it's been an absolute honor. Guys, if you got value out of this one, this is an episode we want you to share. There was so much packed into this hour-long conversation. So share this with as many people as possible. If you're enjoying these conversations and you want to continue to support us and help us grow and get this message out there, ratings, reviews, share, do it all, guys. But for Mark Loebliner, your host, Coach Frankich here, we love you guys. We'll see you in the next one.